Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And you are listening to your number one favorite talk radio station, that is Seagull FM. And from this hour of 6 until 8 in the morning, as it has been, discuss issues of economic development, national development affairs, issues of international relations, and indeed everything which affect our bread and butter. We are greeting you from all corners of Namibia. We are greeting our leaders, from political leaders, traditional leaders, faith-based leaders, and all the community leaders, and everybody who is an economic mover, it's economic participants or economic enthusiasts, and everybody who has good intention of advancing Namibia economic interest. We are greeting you, and this morning of the Wednesday of the 7th of January 2026, we are indicating to you that we are here, and it's always very important, especially in the morning when you are waking up, especially at the beginning of the year. Wake up with a positive attitude, and also to learn one thing, especially taking from our African philosophy and African ways of doing things, to say, you know, a hunter who is making noise will go home empty-handed. A hunter who is making noise will go home empty-handed. And in this morning, what is indicating to you? This morning I'm indicating to you to say, you know, it's quite not advisable to speak everything about your plan, everything about what you do, everything about you know, what you do within your personal life. And you know, there are those people who are asking themselves, why my plans are always not working? You are planning to get married, and you are showing your wife or your future wife to everybody. You are planning to buy a car, and you are telling to everybody, by the end of the day, you find yourself, after 3 years, you did not yet achieve that plan, just because you make, sound while you are hunting. And this is also indicating to say, it's not quite important to share all your plans, although it's also, not also important to keep everything secret. But from the African point of view, let us not overshare. And also, let us not, tell everybody anyway, because with our tongue, because there is a speaker or there is a thinker who indicated to say, a tongue is a beast that is very difficult to control. But if you are able to control our tongue, then life will become more easier. So let us not speak about everything, about all our plans, because at the end of the day, we end up not growing. So have that in mind, especially when you're at the beginning of the year, to say, a hunter who make noise, or there is no relationship between a hunter who make noise and a successful hunter. That is why it's always very important to keep quiet, and also to have at least a low-key approach to life, so that we can achieve our plans. Even we can take it to a national level, and to reveal our strategy, to say, this is how we are going to approach our economic development plan. And we've been speaking about this for quite some time, but at the end of the day, if we show all our cards, then we end up not moving. But yeah, we understand majority of you have returned back to work. Majority of you have returned back to work. Some of you are still on holiday. Some of you are traveling. And some of you, you are going back to work from work. Some of you are working extra hours. And we are greeting you to say, let's push. Let's continue push, because Namibia, the only country that we have, whatever happening at the global affairs, let us not forget that we still have people to feed at home. Let us forget that we still have a young and energetic mind which need opportunities. Let us not forget that we still have a national plan on the table. Whatever is happening at the global platform, we must not forget that we also have our national issue that we should focus on. That's why it's always important to look at the interest of the country if we all understand our national interest. If you ask everybody, I will say, what is Namibia's national interest? What are some of our priorities at domestic level and also at international level? Then it's easier for us to, you know, align ourselves and our work with our interests. But if you do not know what Namibia is standing for in 2026, what are some of our plans, then we really need to work hard on that, and we really need to upgrade our game. So we are greeting you, and like any other day, at this hour, we are going to look at what is happening at international affairs. What is happening at international affairs? And there have been a lot of you know, developments, especially the beginning of 2026. Some are saying it did not start at the lighter note. Some are saying it started with some of the unfortunate events. But that is life, and we must find a way on how we should navigate through. And like we're always indicating to say, let us not wait for the world to take itself in. Let us not wait for the world to put itself in order before we say, this is what we are achieving at home. We must put ourselves in order as a country first, and we'll see what will happen. And not also to just react on everything which is happening, but to observe and also see how we can deal with our issues. I'm stating this before international affairs because in most cases we look outward, and we spend more time also looking outward and discussing issues of global affairs, although they have a direct and indirect impact on our affairs. But we forget about, you know, what we need, our immediate challenges that we have at home. Yeah, what is happening? What is happening in the continent of Africa? What is happening at the global platform? And how should we navigate through? And just for information, from the hour 7 today, you're going to be joined by one of, you know, policy analysts who will be also assist us to unpack the new policy and regulations from United States of America, particularly toward some of the countries in the world, Namibia included, especially when it comes to payment of the U.S. visa board, the U.S. visa board, especially when it comes to the entry in the United States of America, where you have to put in mind that particularly travelers and tourists who will be traveling to United States of America, there are new tightened regulations, immigration regulations under Trump's administration, which indicating that you may be required, or you are required, actually, it's not me, it's a must now, because it's operational from the 1st of January, that you are required to pay a bond of $5,000 to $15,000. And not only that, there are also tightened requirements of you sitting for one-on-one interview, especially when you want to enter United States of America. One-on-one interview, in-person interview. And you will disclose your social media account history, and also your family traveling history. And paying that bond also indicated to say it's not a guarantee that you are going to be given a visa, but regulation is also indicating that you'll be paid back your money when you are denied visa. And, you know, some of the things may be out of our control. I can be not really to say a good citizen. I can be a citizen who does not dwell much on criticism of the U.S., or does not dwell much on maybe insulting people, leaders, and policymakers within the United States of America. But I don't have control over the movement of my family members. If a family member traveled to Afghanistan, to Iran, or to Venezuela, often, that is not within my control. But for now, let's look at ShopRite.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. We commit to bring you lower prices on all the essentials you need, like 6x1 liter NAM milk, low-fat or full cream UHT milk for only 118 Namibian dollars 99 per pack, and 4 liter Right brand sunflower seed oil, only 159 Namibian dollars 99. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 11 January 2026. Only at ShopRite. Catch Ready, Steady, Cook on One Africa. Proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
Yeah, and that is what we are going to look at, especially from our 7 day, and also to ask ourselves to say what is really that we are not doing well, especially Namibia, a very small country. When you look at a global platform, what is that we are not or we did not do well? And we are also going to compare the list of countries which we are part of. And also to say, moving forward, how are things going to be, especially with migrations? Because this policy, when you are looking at it, sometimes we must be genuine enough to look at the policy from both sides and understand to say, sometimes the United States of America, it's also protecting itself, because if you look at tourism statistics within United States of America, you'll be able to realize that per year, the state of America can receive up to 79 million. Tourists, and be able to understand that not all these tourists will return home. Some of them end up asylum seekers. Some of them end up extending their staying. Some of them end up trying to find a way on staying in what is called the free world. But I need to look at that, and also to say, Namibia is not only condemned in the U.S., but Namibians, they've also been appointed figure from that side of the U.K. When you'll be able to look at what have happened in the past 1 month or so, especially when Home Secretary, that is Meme Shabana Mahmoud, has warned our government to put his house in order, especially in accepting those who were not given asylum in the UK. It's quite a concern. It's quite a concern when you look at it from a global aspect, and also to look at ourselves to say, what is that we don't, what you are not doing well? That is why the aspect of victimization must also kick in to say, is it really that the world hates us? Or we hate ourselves, or we are not putting ourselves in order? Is it really that the world does not want us, or there are things that we are also not doing well? And getting that, we can rectify them. And also to say, it's not only people, it's not only citizens actually, but we can also look at our regulations, and we can also look at the way we deal with things at home. To say, why me, and what is that I'm not doing well, then you move forward. So, that we pack it for some minutes, then we'll come back to it, because it's our main conversation for today. Let us look at Uganda. General Museveni is the president of Uganda since 1996. He's going to run for elections for, and he indicated that this is the last term to run for election. And indicated that this is the last stem. And, you know, the national elections of Uganda, or Ugandans, are going to the polls on the 15th of January, where President Yoweri Museveni, or General Yoweri Museveni, going to go hand in hand with the main opposition leader, that is Robert Kyagulanyi, well known as Bobi Wine. It's a well-known political opponent of General Museveni. But the main news here is that Uganda current government denies plan for election internet shutdown. And, you know, there's one thing about Uganda that you'll be able to look at to say, even if you have a young, active generation, the old guards are also using their tactics and strategies to say, during election campaign or a few days before election, in most cases, used to be internet shutdown. And in this case, the authorities indicating that there is not going to be internet shutdown during the days of elections. And you must be able to understand that currently, particularly in the African continent and anywhere else in the world, internet plays a huge role in issues of governance and also in issues of politics, particularly to the young people. To say, you may speak about people who are not showing up at rally, but people are reading policies, people are looking at campaign, and people are engaging on internet platform. And it's actually a new way of political engagement, especially looking at how it has been, particularly the traditional politics of door-to-door campaign, and also the traditional politics of attending political rallies. You may find out that, particularly at an urban area, that few people attend the rallies, but when it comes to elections, people, they see you on TV, people, they see you on TikTok, they see you on WhatsApp, they see you on Facebook, and it can really change policies. But you must be able to understand that there are also those who do not have internet. But in this case, I think it has been one of the political strategy that have been used to say during elections, especially in Uganda, there used to be internet shutdown, no Facebook, no Twitter, no Instagram, until you are done with elections, because views and political opinions can be changed within minutes. And in that regard, you can also be able to see that it can be some of the political tactics and strategies. But in this case, the government of Uganda indicated that there will be no internet shutdown. And also, the Ugandan Communication Commission has said there was no plan to cut internet access. And they also have given indication to say there must be no misinformation too. There must be no misinformation, particularly during days of elections. And it's only the Electoral Commission that is given responsibility or authorized to declare election results. And when you look at the politics of President Museveni, you must be able to understand that it's one of experienced and long-term leaders in Africa. And he played a major role in overthrowing of President Idi Amin, and also Milton Obote. Was a general, and he also at some point took over power militarily and transformed from military to civilian government, and stated that coming to power from 1986, he won 6 elections, and he's going again to the polls, and we see how things have been. And looking at the relationship between Uganda and United States of America. We'll be able to realize that General Museveni or Ugandan authority and United States of America, they are now in good term looking at the policies, especially policies from Republican. But looking at the previous administration, either is Barack Obama or John Biden, we're able to see the crash back, especially anti-liberal ideologies. And Museveni has been standing on his principles, but looking at the background, particularly these days, you'll be able to see that there's a good relationship, even after the withdrawal of USAID support. You'll be able to see that United States government and Uganda have signed a health agreement, especially millions of dollars. And, you know, we'll see how the outcome is going to be. We'll see how the outcome is going to be. And it's also very interesting. Yesterday I was watching a documentary on the politics of Africa. And looking at the elections for the past, 9 months, and also looking at the current events in African politics, we'll be able also to see that, you know, sometimes there are questions about independence of electoral body. There are questions about independence of electoral body to say the results that are given to people, real results, or they are quite independent. And also a question to say, do you need to preempt the outcome of the elections results? Do you need to preempt the outcome of the election results, and how independent are electoral bodies? Because sometimes you can really see that electoral bodies, if you are defeated, you are just defeated. And looking at the case of Botswana, look at the case of Zambia, looking at Malawi, and many other countries. But there are also questions, especially looking at the actions of independence of electoral body. Because when I was watching that documentary, what surprised me is that especially in the case of DRC, you see at one point Mr. Nanga was head of elections, and after a few months he's the head of coalition of rebel groups and M23 included. And you are just asking yourself, was he really independent during that time, or it was part of a political move? And let's hope there will be transformation actually in the politics of Africa, and see the strengthening of institutions, particularly when it comes to African politics. Yeah, moving ahead, let us look at least outside the continent of Africa, but to look at this after a commercial break, especially when you are going to look at Cuba. To say Cuba is finding itself in a very difficult position. Cuba is finding herself in a very difficult position, especially when it comes to the issues of the future energy sustainability, and also the issues of oil after the capturing of their main ally, that is President of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, last weekend. And also to look at what President Donald Trump has said, especially about Cuba on Sunday, to say the Iceland is a nation, it's one of the nations which is ready to fall without support of Venezuela, especially when it comes to oil. Then you can also be able to realize, to say there is more than what it has been on the face, especially when it comes to President Maduro's arrest, because As I spoke with analysts the day before yesterday, I realized to say it's part of expanding of national interest.
The festive season is a time for traveling, a time to reunite and celebrate with loved ones. But most importantly, it's a time to obey the road rules. Check your tires, wear your seatbelt, drive sober, adhere to speed limits, and walk responsibly. Do the right thing and save lives this festive season. Your family awaits.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yeah. It's 30 minutes past the hour 6, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are here until the hour of 8 in the morning, and you know, we are looking at the case of Cuba, and also to connect with we are looking at the case of Cuba.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of faith.
This is actually to reunite and celebrate in the Kulak standard.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows does not have capacity to be? Why should you do that? Any person that doesn't have capacity to be.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my capacity.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yeah, we are looking at the case of Cuba. They stated that Cuba faced uncertainty, especially looking at its future when it comes to the arrest of President Nicolas Maduro. It's coming to the arrest of President Nicolas Maduro. It was stated that the United States administration of President Trump has warned, you know, in advance, especially when it's coming.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of faith.
This is actually
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yeah,
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of faith.
This is actually a time to reunite and celebrate in
the
Kulak standard.
Most
important is to obey the road rules.
Why do you give
check your tires?
Tell that to somebody who knows does not have capacity to be. Why should you do that?
My friends, why do you seem so
worried?
Let me not pick up my attitude.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yeah, we are back. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And it's indicated that, you know, when we are speaking about the case of Cuba, after Maduro was arrested, people of Cuba have shown their concern, especially looking at the future of oil in Cuba. Because, you know, when you look at the history of Cuba in United States of America, there's been one of the most standing out Marxist ideological country, and has been openly about its policies of communism and also socialism approach, especially to its citizens. And it has been known as anti-capitalist country. And although they are closer to each other, Cuba has never been in good books with the United States of America, and has been one of the most powerful countries, or one of the most global players, especially when it comes to the issues of Cold War. And those who follow history very well, it was during that time of the late Fidel Castro, and also Ernesto Che Guevara, where the world was at the brink of nuclear war, especially between United States of America and also Soviet Union in the 1960s. And looking at how it has been, Cuba has also been sanctioned many times, especially when it's coming to issues of trade. And when you look at Donald Trump, the current president of the United States of America, is like he wants to rewrite the history, because when you look at the issue of if you now dig deep and do your research very well, you'll be able to realize that the arrest of Venezuela President Nicolas Maduro is not only based on drugs allegations of wearing drug trades in the U.S. and also smuggling of weapons, but you can also see that this part of strategic interest too, especially who is controlling the trade and the supply of oil in the rich country in Southern America. And you can also be able to see that Maduro government was shipping daily average of 35,000 barrels of oil to Cuba over the last 3 months, about quarter of the total demand. And that is stated by Joe Pinon, a Cuban energy expert. And there is no doubt, actually, stated that there is no doubt that the lack of Venezuela support is a danger or is a threat to Cuba. And can also be able now to see how things are turning out, to say it's more than Maduro. It's also about showing or teaching a lesson the countries which are not in the good books of United States of America. And Trump is very clear about American policies, especially looking at what he has been calling making America great again. And just interestingly, looking at the history of U.S. Either U.S. intelligence and also U.S. government, one of things that history is not erasing is that looking at the small island countries such as Cuba, and looking at the history of the late Fidel Castro, and some are saying he's the only revolutionary leader who managed to live within his principles and died peacefully at the age of 90 after more than 600 assassination attempts. Some are from CIA, some are from other opponents, but he happened to outlive most of or all his opponents. And records here indicating that former president of Cuba, the Fidel Castro, has lived or have seen or served with more than 9 U.S. presidents, one come and go, another one come and go, and ruled Cuba for over 50 years. And you know what is very interesting is the way he have been surviving, the way he have been surviving over the most sophisticated, over the most sophisticated, military might of the U.S. and led Cuba. Throughout, challenges either of trade embargo, either is restrictions on trade. And one of the victory of Cuba is their strong stand on socialism, and also they have up to now strong or quality medical professionals. And you can also see that one of their standing rules is not really to say investing in weapons, but investing in quality of lives. That's why when you pay close attention, especially during COVID-19, when people, especially in Italy, were dying in thousands, Cubans sent the army of doctors to save them, But looking at the world, how the world is turning out, is also to see that everybody is pushing their strategic interest. Here, USA is pushing their strategic interest. On the other side, you can also see that Russia is also pushing a strategic interest. And then the question is that what is your strategic interest as Namibia? Are you also pushing your strategic interest? Where are you standing? And what is your strategic interest as Africa? Or you are just waiting for the outcome when the big boys of global politics are playing their cards? And it's really a concern on how Cuba is going to survive, because if U.S. multilateral corporations took over, or U.S. Or pro-U.S. leader took over Venezuela, or influenced, actually, because when you see the current leader of Venezuela, the acting president, and also see the pronunciation from the U.S., you can also be able to see at some point she may be not really to say forced, but the situation will allow her to be a bit neutral, looking at the history of what have happened, and also to see leaders are also human beings, and to at least look at the cooperation with the U.S. because when you look at the acting president of Venezuela, was already talking about cooperation with the USA, although standing their demand of the release of Nicolas Maduro, the former president of Venezuela. But it's quite interesting to see if you are using from the rationality point of view, to see if somebody is out sick and you are made an acting president, would you really behave the same way as he was behaving, to say I'm keeping on the fight, knowing exactly what has happened to him? Or you also try to be a bit neutral? And this is not something that you can just predict, but you can be able to see that after every what is called regime change, or after every overthrow of government, the next leader will try to be a bit different, either changing alliance, either looking at different approach in terms of policies. And you have seen this many times. You have seen this in Libya, you have seen this in Iraq, you have seen that in Afghanistan, and you have also seen it in Tanzania there. And to say the next leader will always try to, after some bold actions, and after misunderstanding with global power, the next leader will always try to make sure that if you are not lenient or being diplomatic, the world or the global power will come for you. But it's a pity, especially to countries such as Cuba, when it comes to the supply of oil, how they are going to survive, or they are going to open up their borders, or they are going to back down, and also revive the way they have been interacting with the United States of America. But what is very interesting is that even if you are seeing what is happening around the world, there is actually no permanent enemies with international affairs, and the U.S. is not the enemy to anyone when it's coming to principles of international affairs. At some point, countries which fight with each other, they end up becoming good friends. That's why it depends on interest, and it also depends on the leader at that point to say, how should I move if I'm cornered at this point in time? There's also an area of compromise, and to say, if you don't compromise, even as a person, if you are just hard-headed and you don't compromise, you don't read the time, it's going to be very difficult for you to navigate this world, because there are some times where you have to agree that you have lost it. There are some times where you have to agree also to say you need to cooperate, or cooperation is the only way, although deep down in your heart you know that you wanted something, but for the sake of your people, you need to make sure that you don't just stand on a stone, and you are not movable, because people also get tired, because if people start getting hungry, they also want to take you out. But what is necessary is compromising too, and also understanding. That's why you always find that after every fight, people end up sitting, people or leaders end up sitting and try to find a way. Even during the most difficult, deadly war, rebels and government leaders, they end up sitting in one room and say, guys, we need to sit down. I know I'm not achieving my goal, but let's find a way on how we are going to cooperate with each other. So let's look at a short commercial break. Then we'll look at the issue of Russia and Ukraine. And from there, we'll be able also to look at the conversation for today. The conversation for today, especially when we are looking at B1 and B2 visa board payment, especially when you want the entrance into the United States of America, particularly from countries such as our own Namibia, and also to make a self-assessment to say, what is that we have done? What can we do moving forward? And what is the better option, especially dealing with such situation? But let us look at a short commercial break, then move forward.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi kayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamwili nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Yeah, We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. In this 51 minutes past the hour of 6, we are here until the hour of 8, when we are going to give the mic to Big Mike to unpack the day. And from a global perspective, you know, why people or why global leaders are having emergency United Nations Security Council, why global leaders are having emergency United Nations Security Council. You know, big countries still continue pushing their interests. It was indicated that Russia strikes hit a clinic in Ukraine, in the capital city of Ukraine, that is Kyiv, and kill one person and injured three. And reports are indicating to say emergency service saying around 25 people were evacuated, and some of the patients were transferred to other hospital. And President Zelensky said Russia launched 165 drones overnight, and it's also stated that you know, Zelensky is continue to look for support, especially the daily need for air defense, interceptors, drones, and energy equipment, because you know the war between Russia and Ukraine is so sophisticated that it's not really fought by ground force, but it's fought by technology. It's fought by technology, because in this world, if we were still thinking about you know, buying more AK-47 to defend your country, you are still living behind. You are 10 years behind, or 20 years too, because the world is using sophisticated technology now to defend themselves, to protect their resources, and also the civilians. And launching of 165 drones in a day, it requires a high level of technology, and it also indicating how the world has moved on, and also to say where are we standing as Africa. Because one of the things that people do not really speak about is that when you're analyzing, for example, in the context of M23 and government of DRC and supporters too of government of DRC, you'll be able to realize that M23 is heavily equipped with highly sophisticated weapons and also technologically, you know, advanced. When a rebel has night vision glasses and they are using drone to track you, know that it's very difficult for you. Know that it's very difficult for you. That is why invest right investment in technology, and also right investment in technology which you can use to protect yourself, not really to say to go to war, but to defend your national interest. Because in the current world we are living in, we still have to come to understanding that issue of, you know, modern defense system is also part of your economic advancement, because you can't speak about 21st century economic development without protection, without security, without advanced policing, and without advanced and modernized military. Otherwise, those who want to snatch resources from you can come anytime and take it from you. That's why it's quite very important to look at that, to say natural resources must be heavily defended. So, looking at that aspect, looking at that aspect, before we go to our main conversation for today, it's quite also important to look at You know, one of the things which, you know, impressed me, is president of, Malawi. Especially to say sometimes leaders, maybe, they've also learned a lesson. Stated a president of Malawi, that is Professor Peter Mutharika, has withheld assent to the recently passed Constituency Development Fund Constitution Bill of 2025. And looking at the statement of yesterday, the president stated that you know, through the press secretary, the withheld of this bill is to ensure that the development project at constituency level continue to progress without compromising financial integrity. And, you know, Mutharika directed the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Affairs to draft a guideline on management of, you know, constituency development fund. And looking at this policy, you may be also to relate to Namibia, because when we have been speaking, or when debate has been presented there, especially looking at constituency councillor and them not having a budget, you can be able to say that it's not only Namibia, but other countries have found ways on dealing with this issue, particularly looking at development, then you can also be able to see that Malawi is reviewing that policy and looking for advice and guideline to deal with you know, constituency development fund, to make sure that development is placed at a grassroots level. And that's why, you know, when it comes to development affairs, you can be able to see that projects development at the grassroots level must be directed. And from last year, when people went to you know, regional and local authority elections, we have seen constituency councillors too are indicating that they are going to bring changes, but let us hope that bill of defending constituencies to be given budget so that they can develop and can have say in their projects, unlike having uncertainty in terms of what you are going to do. Because really, at the end of the day, we must have effective grassroots development, which is linked to the people, because it's the only council that knows. And councillors must speak up about this thing. Every councillor from wherever you are, which political party you belong to, say, if you want development, don't just speak about general things. Speak about the power be given to constituency leaders, to grassroots leaders, to have their funds, and to also have much saying in what they want for their people. Imagine you are in a constituency where people do not have water, people do not have clean water, and people do not have, you know, basic infrastructure such as clinics and schools. Then you go to the regional level, then you start the debating, then they say, no, we're only going to give you half of this portion. And it's not even, you are even given half of the portion already. You know, you to choose between building a clinic and also, you know, building a gravel road, and you have promised people that when they take you to power, you are going to develop them, and it's giving a lot of constituency councillors sleepless nights, even if they don't speak about these things. But what needs to be done is to make sure that that power also be given, so that a grassroots leader can be able to impact change. And that is also one of the things that Malawi is doing, especially when it's coming to constituency development fund bill. You can engage us at 083-288-401. And the time is exactly 1 minute past the hour of 7. And you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are indicating to you that your views and opinions, your contribution matters, especially when it comes to issues of development, issues of global affairs, and what we can do moving forward. Good morning.
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I thought I was going to wait, I mean, to call in before the guest.
No, you are the guest. You are also the guest.
So, now that you are talking about those constituency development fund.
Yeah.
And the policy to be crafted up to guide. I think it's very, very important because many a time we have heard stories that, yes, this project has failed and this money cannot be recovered, especially recent on this GIPF money that were invested in South Africa. So I think I don't know whether it's lack of guidance or policy instrument that is failing people to compose their assets, their behaviors, when it comes to management of finance. And I think many a time people go free when they mismanage the fund. And I think that is a very critical area where policymakers and everybody need to really look at, because ethical consideration must really be a matter of agency in this matter. Because that's where we have a big problem. And people sometimes they just go free. So, and once they mismanage the things and all this other thing, they will go free many a times. But they must be accountable for their action. Because if we are allowing things to be like that, then everybody will just be mismanaging the money.
It's true, it's true.
It's our money, and it's spread their money. Maybe they don't care much about that.
It's our money.
It's something that is very frustrating even the political leadership.
That's
why we are saying we need also to separate these two issues, leadership and management. Many a times it's management styles that is being employed that is actually misappropriating the money.
But these people that are leading you, they are coming from universities that you train them in leadership. What is the real problem?
I think in university, many a times people are not really trained in leadership.
No, they are trained. You know, I was. I think 2 years ago I was reading an article about at some point China there was a time when they stopped their some of their students also to attend some at the business schools in the US to say, no, when these guys are coming from this business school with their MBA and they are training, they have different tricks on corporate tricks on how to and how to infiltrate the system, and it's not ethical. That's why to say sometimes we must also look at where this, the, where we are, which products are we dealing with? Because we may speak about institutions, maybe there must be systematic corruption or unethical leadership, but we must also look at who trained these people. Some of these people are coming from our universities. So they are well educated and they play their cards which are not ethical within the corporate affairs and even within the public sector too.
You are right. Yeah, because the more they study those issues of leadership and management, the more they have they acquire also some kind of tricks in unethical conduct.
They see the loopholes.
This is where they need to just to be accountable for their action. Because if we don't take them to account, yes, the money has got the money is lost. Especially with this through this unlisted entity or whatever. So if they misuse the money, especially when you are aware and you are trained and you know the consequences, the legal consequences and all these other things in involving in those kind of things. You are the one to be punished because you are actually aware, even though there is no excuse of not knowing the law, but you can be more pinned.
Yeah.
Because you are aware.
Indeed.
Not that somebody who does not know, is not aware, is not trained. You that is trained, you should be more accountable for your misbehavior.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
All right. Yeah, we are continuing with every morning scoop. And you know, just why we are there, just why we are there, you know, you may really find out that, you know, somebody who is educated and know the loopholes, you can sense that this person has done something wrong, but you cannot catch that person. And that does not mean that the person is not guilty. It just means that the person is not catchable, because this person knows how to, you know, to cover their tricks. You know, it's quite concerning. Good morning. Hello. Yeah. So how are you doing? How are you doing? How is 2026?
No, it's okay.
It's okay,
me.
Come again?
I stopped bothering.
Oh.
No. Because sometimes you just talk, then what enough?
No, you know, sometimes what you say is valuable. People are getting your advice, or people are learning. They are not showing up. When they meet us in the street, they speak about you. But sometimes you think you are not making any changes. But, you know, once you speak about something, that's why you know something maybe better than 20 people. The moment you speak it out, that's why I'm always encouraging people to say, your ideas, sometimes they matter even if you don't see it. But you are changing people. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, to say how is 2026? It's just like that.
It's what it is.
You know, the problem, yeah.
Yeah.
I also, even these people are not... just to give comment about what is going to happen. Look, I will become prophet now.
Come again?
It's like I will become prophet or what?
No, you are an analyst. You have deep insight on the future too.
No, yeah. I did not follow all these days, but I was just worried, man, to hear the news that the Americans had bombed Venezuela at the end of the day after the president. And it's a dangerous president.
Very, 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 very.
Yeah. And I think it's like we go back to the 1940, the scramble of Africa, the invasion. You must still also go back, because there's nothing new there. Only that us, we are not learning anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just even how Americans came about. What Americans have done has been done already by the Spanish and by the Portuguese. That's what the Portuguese have done.
Americans,
they copied that one from the Portuguese. They come in, they kill the king, they force people, force labor, they took over, they imposed democratic.
They put their person.
After imposing the democratic government, when the elected president doesn't want to go with the agenda, they do it. There are only three things, and this is the extremist now. The American took. Number one, they sponsor, you know, the opposition to take over. If they fail, what they do, they also cause civil war in that country. That is the last option they did. Invasion.
They come in.
But we are saying, are the Americans now the police of the world? Who gives them that mandate? What is the role of the United Nations there?
It's a good question.
You see? What is the role? meaning the United Nation is no longer there. It does not exist.
Institution.
You see, we were made to believe that the United Nation, because the policy of the world is the United Nation, not the Americans. You understand?
Yeah.
Because that is, you have the Security Council.
Yeah.
That is their, that is their responsibility. But if an individual state will just wake up and invite a specific country to such extent, even they even try to take the president out of the country, arrest him,
in the wife,
and apparently go prosecute in their own country. Who are these?
You know what I was asking myself is to say, which law are they going to use? Because international law is very clear that I think those are the fundamental of international laws, to say you cannot go inside. How can you do that?
That's why when I tell you, we are in a franchise system. You guys, you don't want to believe.
No, I get you. I get your point. You know, sometimes.
Because now you can see the owner of the system now.
I get your point. Yeah.
You can see the owner of the system. When the owner came in to gain sovereignty over the system that they gave you. That this is my system. That I gave you, your country, democracy, and what. And you can fight with it like that. That is where the whole thing is. That's why you see country who doesn't have a franchise system, they have their own different system of governance.
Yeah.
They have their own technology, something. They have their own things alone. You take the Russians, you take the Chinese, the North Koreans, the Arab nation.
Yeah.
They have their own things.
Now, I want your view. Is it the drugs and weapon smuggling, or is direct to oil?
It's not true.
but is it also part of the package? Is it also part?
Okay. Look, you have to find a legitimate reason to go there.
Mm-hmm.
It's something people have to believe in. Because they are in Venezuela, even up to Colombia. Even Escobar, who was the mastermind of the whole global, drug issue, he was there in Colombia. Then those issues of the drugs, and you know those Southern America countries, most of them they have those what you call So that's the way the hope, but that is not true. But that is an internal thing, you know? That is an internal thing. But you cannot invite a sovereign state like that. You know when the Russian invited Ukraine?
Yeah.
We were all saying, they were all up there. It's a sovereign nation. You cannot do that. What and all those things. Now, what happened to what the Americans have done?
Now, that is the question now. And now, when you... When you look at the Security Council, both of them are there, and they also have their issue. To say you have your thing, I have mine, or who are you speaking to? Just hold on for a while, just hold on.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah.
You know, Shombe, when we talk of your destination also, the fundamental question that we need to ask ourselves there is the funding model. Who is funding the United Nations?
The U.S.
Yes. So, which means the U.S. has the right to do whatever they want to do because they are the big boss there.
But can we lose hope, or we can transform UN? Because that is the only institution that a lot of people can rely on still.
The only country that can maybe try to transform, is to say maybe is when the, you know, the Russians and maybe the Chinese, when they step up.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they didn't step up, then there's nothing going to stop the Americans to do whatever they are doing. And you can see the Americans and the Russians, they are concentrating mostly on their sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are just concentrating. As long as you cannot come to their border, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they are protecting.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are far, they don't care. They can support you maybe when you are here, but when the real fire starts, you have to see those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because them, they cannot fight the global.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot sustain the global war. No.
No.
Transportation and logistics and something.
Now, what do you think will happen to the acting president of Venezuela? Is she going to concede, or she's going to cooperate with the U.S., or she's going to stand on her own, or she will want to be different?
If you are imposed, then you have to dance to the song of the person who put you there.
Mm-hmm.
You are not elected. You are not accountable to the public. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the Americans want to, they are just oil and natural resources that are in that country.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have, and it's also on the record to say, look, most of the oil, maybe 80% or 70% of those oil is being sold to the Chinese, and that is what the Americans want to stop.
I think it's also a blow to the Chinese and the Russians too.
Yeah, but the Chinese, you know, on the other hand, also when you see,
mm-hmm.
you can also see that it's also an advantage to what, to the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will start now selling, that gap was created. They will start selling it, what?
The business will continue.
They are going to sell oil proper now to the Chinese.
They can even increase the price.
Yeah, because one can think of it to say, look, maybe the deal to bomb, it was, you know, they had a cross meeting between the Putin and what? And Trump in Iraq. We never know what they discussed, but maybe one of the points was the issue of Venezuela.
Okay. Let's pack it for now, and then we'll look at the issue of visa. Then you can come back too.
Okay, what on the issue of the visa?
You know, Namibians is added to the list. You know, to the list of those countries that you have to pay a board of around $15,000 if you want to enter United States of America. And it's just to tight, especially tourists and travelers, apparently to control people not to overstay. And it's only Namibia and a few other countries such as Zambia. You also have, very, very, very few countries. But people are also concerned to say, why Namibia? And what is that can also be done? Because here you have Namibia, you have Guinea-Bissau, you have your Central Africa Republic, you have Bhutan, you have Botswana. And, it means that it's going to be not affordable because $15,000. And the other thing is also, one-on-one, interview before you get a visa to the US, and you have to speak about your family, travel history, and your social media, account.
You need to understand one thing in international politics and in economy. Those two things, they always together like this. Because, remember, Trump is a business person.
Yeah.
Number one, it's business.
Mm.
But when they want the business interest, what do? When they cannot get it right through business, through diplomacy, they use political and, military power to enforce.
So that is money. Mm.
Yeah, this one is just a soft power,
mm-hmm.
to push you to agree. Ne? Because if you agree to certain terms of theirs, they are going to remove you from that list. It was the same as with the tariff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not different. That one was the same with the tariff. To say, look, we are going to impose tariffs if you cannot agree to these steps.
Hmm.
Look at what they did to Zambia. They said, look, if the Zambia cannot agree, then we are not going to support their health and what the medical, what was the...
Even the DRC, I see DRC have finally agreed. I just don't know.
So, look,
yeah.
We need to understand business first and economy.
Mm.
You know, I think who is this? Tanjengo
yeah.
is always giving lectures
yeah.
on this platform about economy
yeah.
and business.
Yeah.
Look, first of all, our politician and leader need to understand business.
Indeed, indeed. Business, yeah, yeah.
Then they are going, because at the end of the day, they are going to make money. The Americans are going to make money from those. Even if, because they are saying, while we are trying to get away to generate revenue from the things that we want, let's force them to start paying money through this.
But I think Trump is smart in that way, because the stopping of USAID, I thought it was a punishment, but it was a strategy, because now they are coming in a different form.
But look, my friend, things did not change for those who think war have ended, decolonialism have ended. No. We just need to understand one thing, that whatever conflict that they have seen in this country, in this world, it was all about what? Factor production. Who must own? Who must control it? You can read whatever reason that you are reading. Ultimate one. Factor production. The raw material that you always take. To have it, you need power to protect it. The sovereignty now.
Yeah.
You need the power to protect that. So you can see, but that's why I said, when you cannot see it with it, through business. Because that's why I say, Trump did not believe in a natural way of war, how war, like the issue in what? In Ukraine. You can see that the Russians, they are following the traditional way of doing it.
Yeah.
Testing your new weapon and what. But Trump is just a strategic in terms of business.
They bomb you, they run away.
He just went on the spot. Look at what he did with the tariff. Look at what he did to Venezuela. Look at what he did with this business that you guys are talking about. This is business. You must see it from business point of view to say, look,
this
is just natural resources. But the advantage of the Americans is to say, and the Europeans over the global market, is to say, they introduce a franchise system of governance in the world. It's starting from the governance, state governance, technology, you know, economy and everything.
Now, somebody may want to ask, why Namibia? Or they want something when you are going to the negotiation table if you have to go. Why are you choosing Namibia?
Namibia, you know, when you see Namibia, politics. It's on one hand, it's trying to lean to the Chinese and to the Russian, if you understand. Namibians politically, when you see, they try to align themselves to the east, and that is what the Americans does, you know. You see, that is what they don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to push you slowly, but surely.
And they'll get you.
That's what they are doing. Because you this has been said, immediately, maybe even Nangorombuba was in Russia. Just recently, he was in Russia. You must also see their comment. They are also criticizing, you know, the USA invasion of Venezuela. Joining the South African, the rest of the world, the East. They also have a problem with apparently Israel. You see?
And Cuba.
Look what Israel has done. Just wake up and start bombing other countries. But the United Nations is there. International Court of Justice is there. What is the role of this institution? That's what I'm saying. Every nation on its own.
Yeah.
If you cannot learn sovereignty, then you are not going to achieve. The world will not go any inch from the Chamber of Africa, the mindset.
Okay, now just maybe your final input, because there is always something that we can do. What is that we can do within our control, apart from us understanding that this there's no what hard feeling is business and people are pushing their own interest. How should we position ourselves? Because our memory is also concerned to say whatever happened in global affairs, we still have our own major problems to deal with. What do you think is the right move, especially at this point in time? Because we need, you need the US, we need China, and we are not standing on our own.
Tara, what do you see? Immediate foreign policy. That is the only policy need I always see to say, look, this is the best position Namibia needs. This is the position you want to develop. So we need to discuss that. Because Namibian foreign policy is a non-alignment. You are not an enemy, you are not a friend. You are just in a sovereign nation pushing your own interests. You go along with anybody that you want on the development agenda. You on the business. But the problem that we have, we are trying to debate from our foreign policy a bit. We try to take sides. You understand? On the other hand, we are not also trying to say, look, we are a sovereign nation. What is our sovereign threshold? What is what is that we cannot lose as a sovereign nation? Then you come to say, look, when it comes to policies and what, how much that our policy should be informed by our local knowledge. But if you have a policy that has been influenced by foreigners, you know, foreign dominance,
yeah,
they give you the policy, they give their input, they have to craft policy to protect their interests. Because you need a homegrown thing. Informed by what? By our own culture and tradition and how we know things have been done all along. Then you go to natural resources, you say, look, the percentages that we need to negotiate in terms of the share and foreign direct investment, it must not go beyond this.
Yes.
This is what you need a national, a sovereign nation, threshold for the country, of which we don't.
Okay.
That's why everybody there will just go ahead and negotiate the way we want, negotiate his own business, his own personal interest, just the stake of the government.
Yes, thank you. Thank you once again.
Okay.
Right. Yes, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at the issues of visa and the board which need to be paid, and we'll be in contact with our analyst. It'll take you a bit caught up, but we'll communicate in 5 minutes or so, especially to touch base on this aspect. Now let us look at what really happened. But for now, let's look at a commercial break. Then we'll be able to come back, especially when it comes to issues of U.S. visa.
Iko kuku kanwa he kawar kasin ka no yan ano kasin kawaka inhata kamaka Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries, Water and Land Reform. Iko kuku kanwa ng mumse orbegunu haka inhaung kisiti geto ma I okoka inchosin. Kani amaku okon amakawa ano ka akataha. Asipure ban ano kawa nubia ano akaka. Kung ang kakatin amahu kan e kakawar ka ha. Sisa tangga kan amahu onu amakawan anuk a wasisa kogya katosis ng ha. Communal Land Reform Act 5 of 2003 kukokha ka atisendo ha. Kise kogya ka kukhamaka wakan anuk a katosis ng ha. Ato waka karakawa tawka mariga o ato kumina ka trungkwe. Amahu okong amakawa anuk a kau tu tengah kacau seakan kemas kapmu. Saya akan wakat anuk a wamarka amga tem ong aka na kuika siyasin sem kutwa kamaha kunjaka anuk a foto otanga ka kuika wan haung akaga oko ka kuika chisetigya ka atoha at ongkla ka atisin ka chisor sendo atiko geha ka oka nuk amapung amakuka wak akaga ongkla ka traditional authority communal land port po ministry kandor sa seko to umaka kwa atigya ha mkosi son kaya kawakunka wanchanuka chesins aka damise etidyo kutwe ha ministry kawakiko kusimta kakwara kawa ka chesin se toko nukumaka kwa kutwe ha hanuka akumchum teka kereka teko kuku kukuge na we juwar kasin se toko sison kaya ha kawaka radio mung kaya toko nukumaka we kajaka government ewa namibia ama kwaka republic kawa jemunika kamaka jemun development bank ha kaka nukaisin akan amakwita ministry kandorsan seko to oma kuka public relation kandorsan kamaka ministry of agriculture fisheries water and land reform kaka telefono makawa nel sestien twin nel ah services nel si
yeah. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, and analyst who joined us a bit late telephonically, but for now let us look at what have happened, especially when it comes to the newly introduced regulations, immigration policy, especially directive of US State Department to say Namibia have joined other countries, especially when it comes to the bond which has to be paid $15,000. But if you look at the rough calculation, if you look at the rough calculation of this amount of money, if you take $1 and also convert it to Namibian dollar, then you can also be able to see that the money can fluctuate. And let us use this calculation to say now we are standing at 16.41, but can change with time. Now let's say 15,000 time is 16. Let's just say 16. You are standing at 240,000 Namibian dollars. And as a tourist, from Namibia, as a traveler from Namibia with B1 or B2 visa, trying to visit United States of America, that is just a standing amount. Just a standing amount. It's about the money to pay. And not only saying that, apart from paying that amount of money, you can also sit for in-person interview. And you'll be asked questions. Who are you? Where are you from? And what are your interests with the USA? And also your family history and the travel background. And one thing is that when you look at family travel background, it comes to the point of tight restrictions. Because you can be my family member, but you have different views, different ideologies, and I don't have control over your ideologies. Or can be my family member, but you have deadly criminal a history. But that did not say you are not family. But looking at that aspect, we must also go beyond and also look at the question of saying, why Namibia? Because one of the reasons of defending, one of the reasons of defending that new development is that to prevent people to overstay. Because you come as a tourist, then the next time you're asking for asylum, come up with the reasons of, you know, you being discriminated. And it's also maybe also time for also our government also to rethink and also look at what is really the main cause of this situation. And also to say, it did not only happen in, it's not only happening with the US, but also, we can also look at what have happened, especially, last year, when you have, a Home Secretary, in UK, which is indicating to say Namibia must put their house in order, because looking at the British immigration policy, Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood last year has warned, that it could suspend or restrict visas for Namibian citizens if our government does not step up in terms of cooperation in accepting the return of failed asylum seekers. There are a lot of Namibians who are seeking asylum in Britain, and that also has to look at the aspect of migration. And look also at other factors. Some people are indicating that it's business. Some people are indicating that it's also based on our alliance. Some people are indicating that it's also to milk us too. Or some people are indicating it's to force us to bring us on the table. And what happened to the principle of reciprocity? To say what you do to me, I do to you. And there's no hard feelings about that when it's coming to global affairs. And if that is what's happened, we are going to make money too from that. But what is the way forward, looking at that aspect? But we'll be joined by our analyst soon. This Zakaria Johannes, to say what is the reason behind, what could happen, how can we act based on that, and also what is his view looking at that aspect. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we can engage on that. And you can also give your input at 083-2884-01-083-2884-01. This policy is to shut out completely down to enter USA. Oh, it's just part of policies being presented, and it's not only us. But let us look at a short commercial break, then we can engage on that.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. With me, David Shombe. As I indicated, we'll be joined by analyst Zakaria Johannes just to look at this aspect, especially regarding the bond, visa bond to the United States of America, and what could be the motivation, and what some measures probably need to be taken, because that is a lot of money, over 200,000. What is maybe that thing that Namibia have done in that aspect? So, Sagadia Johannes, good morning, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Great. Happy New Year. How have been the beginning of the year to you?
So far, so good. Yeah. We are just looking forward.
Looking forward, ne? And there have been a lot of events happening, and I understand this researchers and political analysts, you have a lot of work to do, especially at the beginning of this year. How are things going, looking at global affairs? Maybe just one comment on what has happened with Venezuela before we go to our case. What was your impression there?
Yes, quite an interesting year. We just started with the year,
yeah.
But things are already happening.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying. Or I said we are looking forward.
Yeah.
But looking at the case of Venezuela, it's not a new case.
Mm-hmm.
As far as America is concerned, from 1945 there,
mm-hmm.
we have America started from the Second World War. America started already with such things, doing such things to smaller countries. They yeah. only do those things to smaller countries, bombing China, the case of Iraq. The case of Somalia, there are a lot of cases. There are a lot of cases. America has done that.
So you're not surprised?
I'm not surprised. Oh, but okay. I'm just surprised by the way it was done. It was done in a very short period of time, within a certain night, and then the president was already abdicated. The way we did it this time around, I'm a bit surprised.
Everybody shocked. People are saying there is no way you can do that without somebody within. You also share the same sentiment.
Yeah. Obviously, there's someone in, and I think the people of Venezuela themselves, there's someone in Venezuela.
They sold their president out.
Yeah. But something that we also have to know is that the case of Venezuela also, CIA has a role to play, because Americans are all over the world.
Okay, just hold on 1 second. Just hold on.
Okay.
Pena wengu takavenga mo ondando za Shoprite aruhe yoku kunine ondando za wapivi miipumbiwa esiku gashi pakete jo makirigo na milka UHD oi teni mgeri mga hamano kudora esere no longo na kitatu no seno bino kwa wino ngoi oi tena nezo magadigo kujago right brand sunflower kudora esere omiro ngontano no ngoi no seno bino kwa wino ngoi omurosh unu kufutashi gulife kwa Shoprite prize ufani thosu omu longo na limganu omu vigari no milongo mbali na hamano oko Shoprite hakuke kwaino parutha ready steady cook kwa na Africa no mapanduro ku Shoprite Namibia.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM.
Yeah, let us look at the move on immigration policy. What is your perspective, especially looking at what has happened with adding Namibia to the list of those countries who need tightened analysis, scrutiny, especially when you're entering the country, particularly the visitors and travelers. What is your impression on that?
I think something that you have to bear in mind first is that America is trying to show smaller countries that, hey, look, this is America. You must respect us, or you must do things the way we want us you to do things. You must do things the American way, or else we are going to make things difficult for you. So if you look at countries like Namibia with our new administration, is that we are a bit neutral, as we have been, basically, but we are a bit straight on what we want. We are not doing things to please any country. If you look at the new administration, they are not leading much, doing things because they want to please any country, and they are not really saying, no, we are on the side of WHO. That's why you see, even our ruling party was strict to condemn what happened in Venezuela. You see, but if it was some administration, they would be saying, ah, no, they will be like quiet. They won't say anything. But with us, we are showing. I mean, we are showing our position that we are neutral, and what is good is good, and what is bad is bad, and we are not doing things to please anyone. I think, for me, it's America trying to show smaller countries like Namibia that, look, if you are not doing things the way we want you to do things, we are going to make things difficult for you.
Is this having an impact on Namibian businesses? Because they speak about B1 and B2 visa, about tourists and travelers, and what impact is this going to have, and how should we approach it? Because it's not only about the money, it's also about asking to say, David Shombe, what have you been doing for the past 5 years? Who are your family members, and what are your interests here, and all this, and all this scrutiny. What do you think? How do you think it should be handled? Is this a call for us to come on the table and talk about it, or we should just stand the way things are standing?
I would like to start by saying this. Look, this thing of, you know, the world that we live in today, there are two blocks.
Yeah.
There's a block of Russia, China, and other BRICS countries, mostly. Then there's a block for America and most of the Western countries, or Europe, most of Europeans. Now, the problem is that as Africans, we did not really, including Namibia, we did not really choose whom do we want to be on the side with. So if you could have chosen that, okay, us, we want to be on the side of the social democrats, because they are not really communist countries anymore, because they have that hybrid of capitalism like China.
Yeah.
So we would say, no, we want to be on the side of the Chinese. Then I don't think if we have much to do with America, you know. But in this case now, I think it's high time maybe we can say, yes, they can meet and talk, go on the table and discuss about these issues. But the other problem that we have is that in many cases, what I've seen is that it's only African presidents who go to meet Trump. If these things are happening like this, we are expecting Africans to go and meet Trump in the Oval Office. But why is that Trump cannot come to Africa? Because basically means that Trump is like, he doesn't need Africa. Africa needs America.
I don't know. It's also something that I looked at, because looking at the history, even when he was a business person, I'm trying to get a picture of him. I'm trying also to get literature on Trump being in Africa. I don't think he was ever in Africa. But I'm very sure when even he was a president for the first time, he never touched a feet in Africa, not in a G20 last year, and maybe not in the future. But who knows? And we'll be also surprised to see how he will be welcomed, because Africa, when he come to Africa, he will be welcomed when he come to Africa. But what you have said, I think it's something very strong. Now let us look at the future. Namibia is also known to have migrants who do not only moving to the US, but also to the UK. We have also seen turning down of some asylum seekers in the UK. Yeah. And you're asking yourself a question to say, do we really have a problem in Namibia that pushing people outside the country, because if you look at the reason State Department has given with the U.S. is to say the, one of the reasons is to prevent people to overstay. What is it, does that really has to do with our movement? Is our movement also have been annoying the world too, especially African Namibians?
If you look at Donald Trump first, when he was campaigning, he promised Americans that he would put America first.
Yeah.
The question is that, is African countries putting their people first?
Mm-hmm.
And if they could have put their people first, then I think we won't have a problem, because we will make sure that our people have job opportunities. Let's start from there.
Mm.
Let's start from Namibia.
Mm.
Most of the people that are migrating to America are mostly young people,
mm.
Except those that are going to study. But again, studying, we have universities here.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think we have to start with the question of the standard of living in our countries, like Namibia and all of Africa. And then we have also to look at the issue of social services, like hospitals. Do we have enough? And most of the times, funny enough, when you look at African president and most of the ministers and those people in executives, when they get sick, where do they seek help from? Is it not America and European countries? The thing is, we have to make Africa better. You know, we have to start solving problems within, so that our people cannot migrate to go look for a better life somewhere. That's number one.
Mm.
Number two, what we have to do, I think, in that regard, is that we have to change the way we are doing things.
Mm.
And people like Joshua Maponga, who named himself Marana, he says, what you need is not money, you know. What we receive mostly in the cases of aid is that we receive money.
Mm.
We don't need money. We need industries. Or if we get money, it's not to build roads, because roads will be only there to transport our minerals out. But what we need is industries, that we make sure that we start to produce finished products, and then we import finished products to Europe. No more importing raw materials, and then Europeans have to do things for us, and then they retain, and then we export high prices of finished products.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to move from being consumers to be producers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where we have to move. Look at Asian countries. They can now talk. Look at China. China was once bullied by America, but America cannot bully China now.
Yeah. Your final input. You mentioned a very important point, especially when it's coming to internal. There is always this thing: we like external validation. We like looking at to please the world, but we are not really doing well at home. Now, just 2 points, 2 minutes. How should I be a proud Namibian? What is my role? Because this year I spoke about issues of not being victim. Yes, we can speak about government, but what is that we are not doing? Citizens too. Is there something that we also need to change as citizens to say that home is home? Change can only happen at home. And I have to work hard to make sure that I develop home.
Yes, I think point number one, you have to start with the way our politics, our internal politics.
Yeah.
Which is a difficult thing to do, because we inherited what we call democracy from the West.
Okay.
And the way we do things, sometimes we do things, we call it in a democratic way, but is it benefiting us?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm.
Are we moving forward? Is democracy taking us forward, or is it taking us backward?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to look at those aspects of our understanding. You know, the problem that we have in most, like in Namibia, is that many people don't understand how to do things in a democratic country. Mm-hmm. We only know how to vote, and then we sit. Do we have a strong civil society that can challenge policies, that can influence policies for better? So if we have that, then I think, and then we can hold our leaders accountable as well. We have millions of dollars being lost. What are we doing? as a society.
Yeah.
We have people dying every day because they are looking for water in rural areas. What are we doing as a society? How can we solve such problems? And number two, as a proud Namibian, I think pride comes with self-awareness. And self-awareness comes with self-conscious, consciousness. If you look at what Steve Biko wrote in his book, I Write What I Like, he wrote that the black person, the black body is empty, you know. So we need to fill the black body. Oh, now we can't talk of black anymore because we are individuals now. We are all Namibian. So, but I think in different communities we are doing things differently.
Yeah.
If we have to say the truth, but anyways, as Namibians now, we have to fill our body with that Namibian spirit of look. Yeah. We are Namibian, and we must do things in the Namibian way. And if you stand like this as Namibians, we stand as one. Not like I stand here as a Namibian, and then there's someone who's there saying, ah, you know, we can't make cars here in Namibia now. We are very far. But the question is, when are we going to start doing that? Because others are doing it. Why not us?
Yes, due to time, thank you, Sagaria Johannes, for the time, and thank you for that valuable input.
Thank you, sir.
All right, cool. Yeah, that is it. That is it. And one of the highlights I can take out here is that you know, you cannot. We need industry. We need to have pride, and we need to hold ourselves accountable. And the other thing is also that it's also an aspect of saying no, not really to say we need to build more roads because. They are just for taking our minerals out. You know, looking at this conversation, I was looking at, it's just my view. When, EU summit was happening in Angola, last year, you know, the leaders of European Union, one of the things that was praised so much is, Robito Corridor, which is a major railway. Apparently connecting Africa to the globe. But when you look at the Robito Corridor, it's connecting Africa to the global market, but it's really just to take minerals, raw materials from Angola, DRC, and other countries to the international market. And you're asking yourself, are they being traded at a fair price? Are the values being brought back to Africa? Is that corridor also improving the living standard of the African people? How many Africans are still using traditional ways of mining, particularly in rich and wealthy, you know, nations in the continent? But, you know, due to time, we're ending here for now. And I'll give the mic to Big Mike to unpack the day. From me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around. And sharp.